Go get it.
21. The Rodney Morris Show.
Pay attention to this now. Make sure you snap those hands around.
On your home for the Buccaneers. 620 WDAE and US 1035.
You want to come out and get a kick 180 until we get out of here, okay?
Now here's the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Rodney Morris, and your host, TJ Reeves.
And here we are on a Monday night. Hope you are well. Hope you had a Merry Christmas. Hope everybody is enjoying what happened at Raymond James Stadium last night, which keeps the Buccaneers very much in the playoff picture and alive for this weekend. A 38-15 win over the Seattle Seahawks. And we say on that note, hello, good evening, and congrats on a ninth win, a guaranteed winning season now, to head coach Raheem Morris. Good to see you, sir.
Oh, man, good to be here. That was definitely a good one yesterday. That was fun.
Especially coming off of what happened last week. And we've talked about this several times this year, and I know people may think it's a broken record, but your team, dejecting loss last week, responds this week. And again, that's a mark of a mature team. That is a mark of a veteran team. But your young team, once again, rallied around, played well, and got it done.
Yeah, it's kind of the mentality of the whole team this year. You know, it's, you know, eight starters on IR, and it's against all odds, and everything is kind of gray matter, so we just kind of go, you know, just bounce back, play the next game, play the next week, let's go out and try to get another win.
All right, I want to go through so many different things about this, and obviously we're going to talk about playoff scenarios. We're going to talk about the matchup with the Saints. Oh, by the way, as everybody that's listening to us is probably aware, the Saints are playing the Monday night game with the Falcons. There might be just a little bit of interest in that game here in this area, and by the way, in a lot of other NFC markets in particular, there's a lot of interest in that game tonight. So we'll get to all of that and your phone calls in a little bit. But, you know, first things first, the conditions yesterday, colder than most would expect. It usually is not as cold in December, but definitely windier than you might expect. So conditions were obviously a factor. Take me through kind of pregame and, you know, kickers checking out the field and quarterbacks checking out the wind and the whole thing yesterday.
You know, usually when it comes down to the wind, you're talking about the quarterbacks and the kickers, you know, and so we got a quarterback that's built for throwing through wind, and he's a big man, and he makes big decisions and big times, and yesterday it was no different. You know, we were more concerned with our kicking game and how we want to do it. We want to place the ball, go in certain directions during the field. All those things came into play. And we were able to come across and be very successful.
Well, take me through that strategy, because you come out there like all of us did when we got to the stadium, and the wind is blowing, and it's blowing big time out of the north, 20 to 30 miles an hour. Take me through the thought process of strategy on, you know, coin toss and what are we doing and trying to have it for the second half and the fourth quarter. Take me through how that works.
You know, first off, the first decision you got to make is whether you want the ball or not. I wanted the ball, you know, first off, to get the ball into Freeman's hands, for one. And then the other thing was, because I didn't know what was going to get worse, you know. So, you know, as it gets later, you know, I figured the sun go down and the wind might pick up. I don't know. So all those things were a factor to try to get generate points for us and get it going pretty early. You know, obviously they took the win first, Seattle. We were not able to get it going. You know, I believe we had about six snaps of disaster before we finally settled in and finally got things going. So once we got things going, it was pretty good.
All right, let's get into that specifically. And what you're talking about is a couple of times you had decent gains, but unfortunately they were called back by penalties on the first couple of drives. You had a nice screen pass to Cadillac Williams on a third down. You had a block in the back on Preston Parker that called that back. You had to punt. You forced them on three and out. You get the ball back. And again, you had a couple of penalties, and you couldn't move the ball again. So neither team really got started very fast, wind or no wind, to start the game.
Yeah, no question. You know, we came out, and we weren't able to get going. We got a minus yard run from LeGarrette. We threw an errant pass out of bounds. You know, I don't know whether it was wind-aided or not or just a bad throw. I'm not really sure at this point. Third down, threw the pass, like you mentioned, the check down there to Cadillac. He made a nice move, picked up a first down, but we got the unfortunate block in the back and had to do it over. And weren't able to pick up that again, and they got the ball. We were able to stop them on defense. You know, put a nice stand right there, which was good. Good to see from your defense going out there, getting it three and out, getting the ball back for our offense, not able to move the ball again. You know, really coming up with an impossible third down of 25, I believe it was, and having to punt the ball again, and that's when things started happening for Seattle.
Well, and they did put a drive together. It ends up being a 62-yard drive. They get a couple of passes from Hasselbeck, one of them to Mike Williams, the former Plant High School product who played at USC, and I know you have a relationship with him going way back. And they moved the ball into scoring position. They actually converted a fourth down. You did stop them several times in short yardage there. They convert a fourth down. They eventually get in the end zone on a Hasselbeck scramble.
You know, even though they scored right here, it was kind of a good scenario for us on defense. You know, they got the ball. And besides the big run play that they got in there, I believe Marshawn Lynch got versus one of our defenses. We kind of got out of a gap. He busted a big run, and they were able to get down. And, you know, in the past, you know, we kind of let things get out of whack. And, you know, they were able to get a good run there, and they can pick up a couple big first downs and move down and really have success. But, you know, having the ability to get to that third and one and really, you know, stop them right there in that third and one, and then get to the fourth and one and really make an extra effort play to pick it up. It was really good defense. We just kind of, we blown an opportunity because we really had them stopped in the fourth.
Yeah, they had gone to Michael Robinson in the Wildcat, and you initially, I don't know if it was Stiles, if it was Michael Bennett, if it was both of them. There were two or three guys that had him stuffed, and then he made an individual effort to kind of peel around the right end.
Hey, we kind of got out of the gap right there. We kind of got overzealous, jumped inside, jumped over the pile, tried to stop him right there, and he was kind of able to, you know, second effort, you know, pick up the 1 yard and got him first down and goal. But, you know, had two big goal line plays there with two big stops, and really got a chance to see some of our young players emerge, you know. Al Woods, Frank Okem, those guys inside. Yeah, that was really fun to watch those guys really be big and be stout and do some things early to give you some hope. Hey, man, here we go. You know, we can stop at 1 yard line. We can stop them. You know, on third and one, I caught pinch expecting sneak because it was really third and inches and really left those edges unsecure, and he was able to run a bootleg. It was a good play by Seattle, and they were able to score. But, you know, really got some momentum from our guys and from our defense of, you know, what kind of day it was going to be and how we were going to play the run.
So by pinch, you mean you were looking in tight in between the tackles. Once he rolled out, it was trouble.
When he rolled out, I needed an amazing play by Geno, and I needed Geno to be really aware, and it didn't happen that way. Geno did his job, and, you know, Hasselbeck was able to get into the end zone, but, you know, he unfortunately hurt himself.
Yeah, curiously, and we've seen some TV replays now of that, too. I don't know if it's when he landed. I don't know if he kind of planted when he cut back. But he injured himself, and he could not even get off the field, couldn't even get out of the back of the end zone. He actually, on a TV replay, was saying to the referee, "I can't walk." You could read his lips, and he went down in the back of the end zone and had to leave the game and did not return in the game on a touchdown play where he didn't get hit.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what happened either, but, you know, hopefully he's okay and everything's all right. I've seen guys get hurt without being touched. I believe we have one with a keep to leave. You know, a couple weeks when he got hurt and hurt his hip, so I don't know what it was with Hasselbeck.
Well, you turn things around immediately after that, and we've seen this several times with big plays in the special teams, and you turn the game around immediately after that touchdown with the kickoff return by Michael Spurlock. It goes officially for 79 yards where he kind of started to go to the right. I know, again, as we always like to say, you've seen the tape, but he's looking like he's designed going to the right, suddenly sees an alley to the left and does his thing and did a good job of setting up blockers to help him get another 20, 25 yards maybe.
You mentioned the key there, man, that the blocker in that play was superb. You know, guys like Tyrone McKenzie and, you know, USF product that we picked up here, he was able to get out there and get a couple good blocks. You know, EJ Biggers leading the pack out there and getting a couple good blocks for Spurlock. And Spurlock did a great job of using his blockers to pick up extra yardage and to really, you know, get us a great return into the win. To hopefully get us some scoring points here, and it was pretty good.
All right, now, it did not work out that you got a touchdown. In fact, on third down, Josh takes a sack, a 13-yard sack, and now you're debating about what to do. You end up calling timeout because it looked like at first you were going to go for it on what was a 4th and 21 going into the wind. Then you decide to kick the field goal. Thought process there?
Yeah, the wind, you know, when we took the sack, it made the field goal. I'm not sure
about
how long.
45.
It was 46 yards.
Yeah.
That was the direction the wind was blowing. And I don't know if we made a field goal in pregame going that way. Was a little eerie to go for it.
Is that a case where you ask him, you look at him, or what? What do you
actually
think? What do you do?
What happened initially is a special team coach, Rich Bisaccia, took time to think about it and ponder. We were going to go for it. We called timeout, ended up calling timeout, looked right in the Connors barf and said, "Can you kick it?" He looked at me and said, "Yes." And we decided to let him kick it. And he went out there and he kicked it and made it.
Well, and he did. It was a line drive kick with the wind blowing it. It was kind of interesting, again, to see it on the TV replay. The wind blew that ball a good 5 to 7 yards in the air, even though he kicked it as a line drive. And that's to your point about how uncertain it was into that wind, at least at that stage of the game. So that gets you on the board. And then, more importantly, the field position would switch and the direction of the wind would switch. And then you got on a roll in quarter number two. You stop them, you get the ball back, and you immediately go on a touchdown drive of 52 yards that results in a third down touchdown pass from Freeman to Kellen Winslow. Let's talk about that drive.
You know, we talked about it all during the week, and we had wanted to come out in our regular offense and run our first 15 plays. And at some point in that game, we wanted to attack. We were able to go in the second quarter once we got the win to our kind of attack mode, which is kind of a hurry-up offense, Freddie on the ball, not really – necessarily like a two-minute offense, but just an attack mode to make guys stay on the field and to do some things with Freeman and really open him up. And he was able to get us going, you know, also allowing us to still mix in the run and do different things with the run as well. So it was good.
On third and 10, the play call there is, it looked kind of like there were several options, and eventually he kind of rolled to the right, kept his eyes up. We've seen that before, and found Kellen Winslow.
You know, he had a double post on, and really, you know, over to the left where the double post was being formed by the receivers out of their bunch. I was really covered up, and, you know, Freeman steps to the side, makes plays with his feet. But you know, as you guys know, he keeps his head downfield, and he's able to hit Kellen on a strike after a great move by Kellen. So those two working in sync again, you know, helped us out.
We saw that all day. Okay, so that puts you in front at that point at 10-7. They go three and out. Again, your defense does its job, and now you really start to put it on them because you go on a 59-yard drive that only took 4 minutes, and you're right back on the board with seven more points. That was kind of a statement drive at that stage in the game.
You know, again, it was kind of that hurry-up offense, and that's trying to make things happen and get down the field and really, you know, up the tempo and up the pace. And, you know, it was something that we changed up, something that we did this week, and I was being a little bit more aggressive with Free, and it was awesome. It was awesome plan. It was awesome job of executing by our offense.
Okay, you had fun, I'm sure, watching the tape earlier today because there were two or three of those plays on that drive where they were bringing the blitz, and Josh Freeman was able to find somebody, burn the blitz, and even stood in there on at least one of those throws, I think the touchdown to Mike Williams, with a guy coming right at him that blasted him on the throw. That's what NFL quarterback play is all about. If you can stand tall, deliver that ball with a guy coming right at you, that's playing the position. That's what you have to be able to do.
It was a great job by Free. You know, he knew exactly what was happening in front of him. He called the protection. He knew he had a zero blitz coming at him. He knew he had it all out. He knew he just needed a little bit of time to get the ball to Mike Williams in a one-on-one. He stood in there, delivered the ball, took the hit, you know, came off the field and told us it was bonsai. We were ready to deal. And a nice touchdown by Mike Williams.
Yeah, it was a great job there, and Mike Williams would have another banner day. More on that here in just a little bit. Okay, now this was interesting because we talked strategically before we get to the timeout here. We talked strategically before the game about trying to score as many touchdowns as you could, an offensive philosophy, because at the end of the half, you had a timeout left, and you elected to try to stomp on the gas and go get more points and move the ball out of your own end from your own 9-yard line into scoring position.
We were moving the ball pretty well, and, you know, we got the ball. We had a timeout. We had a 2-minute warning. We tried to pick up a couple yards there, use the 2-minute, take our time, and then put Freeman into the mode to go get three. You know, put them in the mode to go get three, move the ball down the field. We'll try to work it all as much as we can, get everything going for us. You know, unfortunately, we had the bad snap, which forced us to use the timeout a little bit earlier than we wanted to, but you know, overall, it was a very productive drive again by the offense to set us up for a chance to go kick three, to go in and add three more points to their halftime lead.
And unfortunately, it didn't work out. The Seahawks got through in the middle of the line and blocked the field goal to keep the game at 17-7. All right, we're going to come back. We're going to talk second half. We are going to talk New Orleans Saints. We're going to talk about the playoff scenarios, take your calls, and much more as we sit in on this Monday night here, the final show of 2010. That's because the next shows will be in 2011. It's almost the new year. Stay with us on a Monday night here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
The Rocky and Morris Show continues on your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WTAP and US 103.5. Once again, here are Coach Morris and TJ Reeves.
Third down and goal from just outside the 10-yard line. Shotgun formation, trip receivers to the left. Kellen Winslow to the right side of the formation at tight end. Here's the snap. Has protection and time. Rolling to his right. Freeman throws toward the end zone. It is caught. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Kellen Winslow. Another remarkable catch by K2. Bucks lead.
Well, and the Bucks would go on to a 38-15 win. Welcome back. It is a Monday night. It is the head coach Raheem Morris show, and we have got much to discuss about the second half of the Seahawks game. We will talk about playoff scenarios, and the Buccaneers very much alive for the final weekend of the season for the playoffs in the NFC. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the matchup with the New Orleans Saints. Saints in action tonight, as everybody is probably aware, against the Atlanta Falcons. So we'll obviously talk some about that later on. We'll be taking your phone calls as well. 990-4620 And if you're in Hillsborough County, if you're in Pinellas County, 727-461-4620. And toll-free wherever you can hear the show, 1-800-596-BUCKS. If you're outside the Tampa Bay area, 1-800-596-BUCKS. And it kind of dovetails in there talking about Kellen Winslow and that touchdown catch. You kind of picked up where you left off in the third quarter. The first thing is the defense, once again, harassing Charlie Whitehurst, shutting down Marshawn Lynch. They got the ball to start the second half and went nowhere with it, and I know that was a big key.
Yeah, we talked about it at halftime, you know, coming out, getting through and out, potentially getting the ball back for our offense because they were rolling. They had things going on the offensive side of the ball. They were moving down the field. They were scoring touchdowns. We wanted to keep that going for ourselves. And we got the ball back for those guys, and it was awesome. You know, led to another touchdown drive for us.
Well, and part of that touchdown drive right away, the punt ends up being down at your 2-yard line. You run it once with LeGarrette Blount, and this was a very key play, at least early on in the third quarter, where you got off your own goal line essentially on a 29-yarder down the right seam to Kellen Winslow again.
You know, we got out there and we got the ball. We mishandled the punt. You know, the Spurlock, Mike, and they let it bounce and went down to the 2-yard line. And, you know, usually that's a disastrous situation for an offense. You just try to get out of there and punt the ball away. You know, but we got a bunch of playmakers on our football team, and, you know, Kellen Winslow came out, ran a great route, made a great catch in traffic, and, you know, made a great catch and run, and, you know, really it's tough to get on the ground and tough to cover, you know, a lot of the times when you're talking about a guy like Kellen.
We saw a key third down from Josh Freeman to Preston Parker, another one of those young guys. LeGarrette Blount runs for 20 yards on a second down play. You know, Freeman then finds Maurice Stovall for 10. You're mixing the run and the pass, and then the next thing you know, you got a touchdown pass to Kellen Winslow again, a 21-yarder, and you're up 24-7.
Great effort by Kellen. You know, design play, a great play for him. You know, Freeman hits it right in stride. He hits the ground. He picks it up. He scoops it. And he's able to get off the ground before he's tagged and jump into the end zone to get him another touchdown in the day. And you can't say enough about his passion. You can't say enough about the energy that he brings to our team and what he brings for us. So,
yeah, there's no doubt that he's on the ground there at about the 2-yard line and has the presence of mind to get up off the ground before the receiver can or the defender can touch him down, and then he has to make kind of a leap to get in the end zone there and does that as well.
I don't know if it was much of a leap, but he certainly gave great effort to get back into that end zone and score his second touchdown of the day.
All right, so it's 24-7. You're calling the defense on the sideline. What are you thinking at this point here, knowing that Seattle's got a backup quarterback? Are you thinking bring the heat? Because certainly that is what ends up happening on the next drive.
Well, you know, my whole thought process is getting the ball back for free. So whatever we need to do and try to in order to get the ball back for free is what we're going to do. And we made a couple good plays again. We were able to use mixing our blitz, mixing our coverage, and able to get after him a little bit in order to get the ball back for him. So that was the whole thing we wanted to do.
Well, Geno Hayes came through with two sacks on that possession, including one that was a key one on the third down that basically forced them off the field. Say something about number 54 and that particular sequence there from him.
Yeah, you know, he had a heck of a game yesterday. You know, he played one of his better games of the season. You know, we've seen this out of Geno before, splash plays after splash plays. He came up big versus Arizona early in the season. And it's no different right now, coming up with two big sacks, tackles for loss. I have to believe he had about 9 tackles on the day, whatever the case may be. And he played huge for us, and I can't say enough about him.
All right, so this, again, sets up the key part of putting the game away in the third quarter because you stop them, they punt, and then right away LeGarrette Blount gets free for a 48-yard run that is a highlight reel run that they're going to be showing probably throughout the offseason and maybe for years to come. We've seen this a couple of times already this season, but this was the first time at home where number 27 goes leaping over Lawyer Malloy on a 48-yard run.
I don't know if it's the first time at home. It's the first time he cleared the guy. You know, he had the flying, whatever you call it, thing in Carolina.
Right.
He had the jump over guy in Pittsburgh game early, and the guy kind of caught him midair. You know, this time he kind of cleared him.
But, I mean, this is a running, leaping Edwin Moses high hurdles thing here.
Yeah, he's astonishing now. He gets to the second level of the defense. You got to make a decision whether you're going to cut him, whether you're going to wrap tackle him, whether you're going to try to take him on with blunt force, no pun intended. And you got to make a decision. And those decisions become harder as he's run down the field free.
How fun was that in the film room today with the team, watching that play, having them watch that play? A lot of oohing and ahhing and –
I certainly watched the offense first when I came into work this morning. and I certainly, you know, when I mentioned players of the game, we certainly seen that play on there. And it's a lot of fun for the team to see those type of runs and those type of efforts.
Yeah, remarkable agility at 230, 240 to just leap over a guy. I mean, that just you rarely see that kind of play in the NFL. And we've seen it 3 times now this season. And he swears that he's not thinking about that, that it's just instinct. And I know there's been a lot of mention of, well, he must have been a hurdler in high school. He has said to us, never ran the hurdles in high school. It's just an instinctive thing that he does.
I can guarantee he's not thinking about that when he's jumping over people, and he's just reacting. You know, he's a good runner. When he gets in the open fast on the open field, he's big. He's fast. You know, he has, you know, all types of unique superhero-type traits.
Yeah.
And
needed a cape on that one.
Yeah, he did.
To go leaping over. All right, and that leads to a touchdown of Josh Freeman to Mike Williams, again, where you do the play-action thing. You wait for Mike Williams to come across the field, and he's open, and Josh Freeman puts the touch on the ball.
It was a great play-action pass, and, you know, Freeman really sold it. And he does a nice job of being patient, holding the ball. A lot of times you see young quarterbacks, you know, throw that ball too early or try to rush the process, and he holds the ball, waits for receivers to come open, and he puts nice touch and nice timing on it, and he's able to complete that pass.
So that's another touchdown for Mike Williams, which gives him 10 on the seat. Can you say enough about that guy? We've talked about it so much this year. We have to keep reminding people, though, this guy is a rookie. This guy was a fourth-round pick, and he is delivered like no other rookie receiver probably in the NFL this season.
You know, he's talented. You know, that's the first thing. And the thing about Mike Williams is he works hard, and he works at it. And he came in right away and made an immediate impact for us. He's made an immediate impact for his quarterback, and they've certainly been working together, and he should be, you know, in that rookie of the year contention.
Got to be in the conversation, yes.
He's certainly a contender, and, you know, he's got my vote.
Yeah.
One of them, you know. Him and Blunt, I don't know how to do it.
All right, so, yeah, I was going to say, because you've got a running back and a receiver on the same team that are doing things, and we're going to go through some accolades here in a few minutes, but it's remarkable what they've done. All right, so the fourth quarter, the Seahawks eventually get a touchdown. They get a two-point conversion, but you again get the ball back in the hands of LeGarrette Blount. After that, he goes 53 more yards racing through the middle of the field. It leads to a fifth Josh Freeman touchdown and basically puts the game away.
You know, again, man, he gets to the second level. He's dangerous, and he got to the second level again for probably the third time in the game, and you got to rely on secondary members to bring him down. It's going to be a rough afternoon for you, and they had to bring him down, and he made it rough on him. So it was great. It was great to see him get the big run. It was great to see his drive, and it was great to see Maurice Stovall get in the end zone.
I want to follow up on that point because there's a veteran guy that has had to, you know, play special teams and kind of watch some of the younger guys get out there and have success, and he's been a good teammate all along with all of that, and now, you know, you smile for him in the 15th game of the season to get his first touchdown of the year.
I don't think that people understand, you know, how much these guys care about their teammates, you know, and, you know, it's kind of hard to see because we all look like these shallow, you know, hardened, you know, athletes, but, you know, when you see a guy like Maurice Stovall get out there, you know how hard he's worked, you know, overcoming injury, you know, overcoming losing the starting position, becoming a playmaker for us on special teams, and then going out there and having an opportunity to go out there and play again and really catching the touchdown, and, you know, it's special for me, I know at least.
All right, so you basically put the wraps on the game there at 38-15. They got it one more time, couldn't move it. You ran the clock down. They eventually ran the ball a couple of times. When they got it back once more, this thing ends 38-15, and it had to be a great feeling to leave that field with a decisive win. You were able to take Josh Freeman out of the game. We saw some of Josh Johnson there for a series. You took some starters out of the game to kind of save them a little bit here for the final game in the regular season. So, I mean, all of that had to be a positive and a good feeling at the end.
You know, we've probably only done it one other time this year, and I believe this was versus Pittsburgh, and that wasn't the way you wanted to do it. Yesterday was certainly the way you wanted to do it when you take out guys. And when you got Donald Penn, you know, standing next to you, you know, talking to you, telling him that was his play, and Free standing over there, and all those guys sitting on the sideline watching their guys play. It's certainly meaningful to these guys. You know, Josh Johnson going out there playing, very capable of running our offense and doing all the things he can do for us. It's a comforting feeling to have guys go in there and be able to finish out games and close out games. It's nice.
Yeah, and you did so, and were able to coast basically in the fourth quarter with that win. And that win, a ninth win, so that ties the franchise record for biggest turnaround. Six wins from last year to this year, from a three-win season last year now to 9 wins. And now you have a chance, obviously, to break the franchise record later on in the week. For Josh Freeman, a 5-touchdown day matches the franchise record for most in a single game, tying Brad Johnson and Steve DeBerg. Josh Freeman becomes the first quarterback in the NFL to have a 5-touchdown day with no interceptions at the age of 22, the youngest since Dan Marino did that. Dan Marino in 1984 is the last 22-year-old to throw 5 touchdowns with no picks. That's impressive when you start getting in that company, too, and you hear that.
You guys bring up some great stats, man. I had no idea. But
we go to work.
That's certainly impressive. That's certainly something that we can build on. You know, he's certainly done a nice job with the quarterback rankings and things of that nature, and you know, QB rating and how they rate that. So I'm excited.
Hey, the one thing we were talking about during the break, and we've talked about this a couple of different ways here, he's got 23 touchdowns and only 6 interceptions the entire year. Remarkable job to take care of the football, first and foremost, for a second-year player. But that's a phenomenal ratio for the quarterback.
That's the key. You know, when those guys can take care of the football and understand that that's the most important thing for our football team, that's when you're starting to mature. That's when you're getting better. You know, like we've been saying all year, he's maturing, you know, wise beyond his years and some of those things, some of those quotes that we said about him, and it's awesome.
You know, for your team to be in this position right now, you know, let's go over a couple of other things, and I know some callers might have some questions or comments about this part. A lot of people kind of snickered at Race to 10 when you started bringing it up. You've had it around the building. You've had it up. You've been saying it on the radio show. Well, let's look at the facts. It looks like you're going to need 10 wins to get into the playoffs in the NFC playoff picture. So let's talk about that whole Race to 10 mentality, because here we are, and you were right.
You know, we lost the race. You know, when you talk about the race, you want to get there first. But, you know, to get the 10 wins is certainly a significant number to be shut out of the playoffs. And if you are, generally it's a freakish year, which we got going on. And I got no problem with that. You know, we could only control what we can control. We want to get this 10th win. We certainly like to go get it versus New Orleans, versus a division opponent that we respect a lot. And we certainly, you know, owe them a payback on what they did to us early. So it'll be a fun game.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that game specifically here in a little bit. Belief. I want to talk again about belief, because that goes a long way. Yes, you have talent, but you've got a young team, and they obviously believe not only in the coaching staff, but as you alluded to just a little while ago, in each other.
You know, it's a mentality before it's reality. You know, and a lot of these guys, they come out every day, and they come to practice, and, you know, they're already stars and starters in the NFL. So when they get the opportunity, it's not that big of a deal. You know, I got a chance to see Desmond Briscoe go out there, and the lights weren't too big for him. You know, and he looked comfortable. He looked like a guy that had been running routes for us the whole season, although that was his first snaps of his NFL career in a regular season game. It didn't look like it.
Well, and you've said that, again, we're kind of going over this like it's an end-of-the-year thing, but you've said that over and over again, whether you're talking about Derek Hardman steps in to play offensive line, or Frank Okam steps in to play defensive tackle, or you ask Corey Lynch to step in there and play safety, or Dakota Watson as a rookie to step in and play linebacker. You've had to deal with that, and you've seen positive results.
You know, you mentioned Frank Okam. I just want to give him, you know, quality shout out what he was able to do yesterday. Now, I'm talking about 7 tackles and 2 assists, against all odd mentality. He got tackles behind the line of scrimmage.
He was disrupting things in the middle yesterday.
He was a
to say the least, right?
He was.
I mean, it was not just him, but I mean, I saw 98 over and over again.
98,
blowing things
95,
up.
90. Those guys play well, and I just want to, you know, bring him up. He was one of the guys that got a game ball from his teammates and got it from the organization. Played well yesterday, really well.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why this team is where it is. All right, we are going to talk playoff scenarios. We are going to talk Saints. We are going to take your phone calls. We'll do that coming up. 990-4620 if you're in Hillsboro, 727-461-4620 if you're in Pinellas. Toll free anywhere outside the Tampa Bay area, wherever you can hear the show, 1-800-596-BUCKS. More with the head coach, Raheem Morris, straight ahead on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Show rolls on. This is 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.
In motion, Maurice Snowball. He's filling in for the injured Aurelius Bin. High formation. Lorig is the fullback. Hand off to LeGarrette Blount, running right, finds a little hole, cuts it back to the 50, to the 40, Harold to the 40, to the 30, to the 25, to the 20, he's to the 15, to the 10, down to the 7-yard line. He hurdles another tackler, deja vu from Arizona. What a great run of the Bucs are in the red zone.
And, yeah, there's the audio call from Gene Deckerhoff of the play that is probably the play of the game. I mean, there were a lot of big plays, but LeGarrette Blount leaping over Lawyer Malloy, who's been in a Pro Bowl or two last time I checked, and has been a great safety for a long time. And LeGarrette Blount leaping over him as part of his 164-yard day yesterday, a new career high for him. And he's approaching that magic 1,000-yard mark, which has only happened, by the way, while we're throwing out accolades, that's only happened one other time for an undrafted running back in his rookie year. Dominic Rhodes of the Colts is the only other back undrafted to get 1,000 yards in his rookie season, and Blunt within range on that for the Saints game coming up. So stand by for that. All right, welcome back in with the head coach, Raheem Morris. Again, as I like to do, people that are just joining us at 5:30, you had to be happy with the overall performance of the team and a 38-15 win over Seattle that we've been talking about.
Yeah, we talked about it at the beginning of the week. We talked about being in the playoff race, and, you know, we really started our playoffs last week. You know, really started versus Detroit, but I told them, you know, last week it really started. You know, and we're in the playoffs, and we got to, you know, be able to go out there and win and compete and, you know, to advance. And these guys took it serious and took it personal. They went out and played a game like it was a playoff game.
Yeah, they had purpose yesterday, even after falling behind, to score 31 unanswered points and get up 31-7 and put that game away. All right, to the phones, 990-4620, Pinellas 461-4620, toll-free 1-800-596-BUCKS, 1-800-596-2827. Demetrius starts us in St. Pete. You're on with head coach Raheem Morris. Hello, Demetrius.
Hey, Coach. Hey, TJ. How y'all doing?
Doing well, Demetrius. How you doing?
Great. I feel honored I'm the first one up. Hey, listen, real quick, Coach, and I'm just asking, I noticed that we have just playoff implications, case scoreboard-wise, because all the other games are played at 4. As a coach, what is your message to your team? How do you keep them calm, not overthinking, not overreacting, not, you know, just keep their gap integrity and things of that nature? As a coach, what do you say to them? Just go all out and play, or keep them from overthinking?
You know, it all goes back to your preparation, how you prepare. When you talk about overthinking, you know, you want these guys to play fast. So we talk about playing fast, hard, smart, and consistent all the time. You know, we just talk about doing our job, you know, which is really the main thing that we have to do. Our job is to go out there and play within a scheme, play within our systems, and win football games. And that's it. You know, the rest of the stuff you don't control. Don't worry about them. You play your game. You coach your game. And you go out and get the result of your game. And usually you get what you deserve.
What's interesting, what Demetrius alluded to, the NFL decided last night what time every game was going to be. They moved the Seattle-St. Louis game in Seattle to the primetime NBC game at 8 o'clock. They decided to leave your game with the Saints at 1. But the two games that have bearing next Sunday with the Giants at Washington and also Green Bay hosting Chicago will be at 4. So in that regard, the games that have implications for you aren't being played until later. You're not going to – while the game's going on, there is no peak at the scoreboard. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, hopefully I'm on a plane at that point. And I'm sitting with my team, and we're celebrating our 10th win. And we'll figure it out when we land.
Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting scenario in that regard. Once it's done, and more on that in a couple of moments. Steve has been waiting in town and country. Hello, Steve.
Hey, what a privilege to talk to you, Coach. Great job.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, you know, Coach, I didn't realize just how important this game was for Seattle. You know, you look at the record and stuff, but they're right in their hunt there. So this was a game that they were really, you know, going after hard, too.
Yeah.
And I don't think a lot of people realize that.
You know, they're in a division, you know, fight with their guys, and you know they're playing for the division championship next week, and they're all counting the NFL. That's
yeah.
The one thing you tell about that.
Yeah, you know, I loved what you've done as far as the, you know, drafting. You did, I think you did a great job, especially with Miller, you know, from UCLA. I think he's going to be a really good asset to you in the future. Just a little thing here. I think maybe take a look at that Hayward out of Ohio State too, coming up when you get ready for that type of thing. But hey, Coach, good luck to you. And let's keep doing it. And you made football really exciting.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate that, man.
So he's putting in draft tips for April.
Yeah,
we got a long way.
I got to hire him. I got to hire him as a scout. I got to be honest. I'm not thinking about the draft right now. I'm one game at a time.
There are a lot
I'll be there soon enough.
There are a lot of teams that have been out of it for 2 or 3 weeks, and they're talking about the draft and who are we going to get in the draft and blah blah. I mean, and truthfully, a year ago at this time, that's what we were looking at: who's going to come to help the Bucs. And this is not the time to be talking about the draft.
No, I got a call last year to purposely lose games to try to get into the Sioux sweepstake, but I just can't have that mentality.
No,
you know, You got to go out and try to win as much as you can.
And you did at the end of last year. And a lot of people would point to that, you know, actually going to Seattle and then beating the Saints, ironically enough, as the point in time where this team solidified itself, turned itself around, and started the process of what we've seen here in 2010. It's kind of ironic that it's the same two games here at the end of this season, Seattle and New Orleans, with the way that it works out. All right, Mike is in Riverview, and he is on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Hey, Mike.
How's it going? How's it going? Coach Morris, how's it going?
Going well. Mike, how you doing?
Doing good. First and foremost, man, you're doing a great job with the team and everything, all the talent that you have right now, all the young talent. Question for you, it's actually maybe involving a little bit of special teams. I got a buddy, actually, that's, that y'all picked up on the practice squad, and he actually got activated, Tyrone McKenzie. Went to school with Tyrone, good buddy of mine. Glad he's got a chance with us, because I'm a diehard Bucs fan, and seeing him come from the Patriots to the Bucs, it's so cool and everything. And I was wanting to know, the future with the linebackers and everything right now.
Well, you'd be happy to know that, Tyrone McKenzie this week, went out and got a pretty high award given to him this week, and for his play on special teams. He received the hammer, which is really like the game ball for us on special teams. And he did a great job. He had three tackles, two assists, one tackle, two assists. He also made a great block on that one big long kickoff return we had. And he also really, we didn't add this to his accolades, but he plays on my goal line defense. And he went out there and played a bunch for us and really made some big time plays for us.
All right. So tell me more. I love this insight that we get on the show. Tell me more about the hammer. It's an actual hammer.
It's a hammer, man. It's every special team player and all the guys are sledgehammer. And
Dave Moore's in the room saying sledgehammer because he's been in the special teams meeting.
It's great because, those guys look forward to it. I remember we activated Tyrone McKenzie. He looked at me right in the face and said, my objective is to go get the hammer. I'm going to win that thing, that was 2 weeks ago. For him to get it today means a lot, to me and to him and what he wants to do. And you're talking about a young man.
So you keep the hammer in your locker. You walk around the building with your hammer.
You own
the sledgehammer.
That's your hammer. Take
all
home,
right.
And
I like it.
We make new ones for those guys, and from week to week. And the guy that goes out and get the hammers, it's a big deal.
All right, we continue here, and this is where we prove that you got all kinds of people listening from everywhere. We go to Fort Bragg, North Carolina. How about that? Here is Steve, who joins us on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Hello, Steve.
Hey.
Hey, Steve.
What's going on, Coach? I just want to say it's an honor to talk to you, and I met you once at the at the Fan Fest, and every shot I get, I go to the game at least once a year, and I love to go there. Whether you win or lose, I'm there, and I lose my voice. But my question is, what are the plans for, Taddy and stuff like that? I know we got Blunt in there, and he's been a beast, and then I know Kareem got hurt, and I know Taddy had 1 year left, and so I'm just curious if you're going to bring a new guy in the draft or
hopefully
what the situation will be.
The job that Cadillac has done for our football team this year has been unbelievable. If you have been watching, closely enough, you'll see that Caddy really goes in there on our third down package. He's our veteran leader. He leads that room. He's a team inspiration. For me, he's a game day captain, so to speak. He's one of those guys that really means a lot to this football team and really provides us with great, carries and great minutes when he's out there. He catches the ball extremely well. He's an extremely great blocker for Freeman, keeps him protected. He's a very integral part to everything we've done this year and everything that we got, hopefully planned on here. So hopefully we can work something out and get him here for a while. So he means a lot to this football, this football team.
All right. I'm curious. I don't know if Steve is still there. I'll ask Jerry over the air here. Steve, are you in the military service? Are you on the base at Fort Bragg, or what's your situation? Just curious.
Yeah. I'm in the Army, and I'm here at Fort Bragg doing Special Forces training.
Well, that's awesome.
In a year, I'll be done with that.
How cool is that? And he's listening in here on the show. And I know that this organization has a special place for the Armed Forces coach and guys like Steve that are fans.
We certainly like to thank Steve for all the services that he does for us. And, can't say enough about that. He's our hero. He's one of the guys that we certainly like to bring to our games. And we certainly like to salute and give those guys credit, to everything they do for us. And, that's a big-time deal for our organization, big-time deal for us. And I know Mark Dominic takes a major liking into it and concern.
Hey, Steve, thank you for listening. We appreciate the phone call, all right?
No, thank you.
Okay, go get them. How about that? On the base at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. That's pretty cool.
Protecting us.
Yeah, and thank you to all the men and women that do that. We go back to the phones. Anthony in Tampa is with us with head coach Raheem Morris. Hello, Anthony.
Hey, Coach, what's going on? I appreciate you bringing the vigor back to the organization. We needed that there.
Appreciate that, Anthony.
The question I have is about the small details. I was curious how that's orchestrated there at practice and how it's worked on. In particular, what I noticed was it seemed like on some of the plays where we're running the ball, some of the wide receivers are lining up kind of giving away the run, I guess you could say, rather than lining up as if it's going to be a pass route. So I was kind of curious about those small details.
All right.
I'd have to get a particular play, you know, Coach. You know, every time we call a play, those guys have detailed alignments, you know, whether they're tight, whether they're nasty, whether they're wide. You know, we have a bunch of different things on what we want to do depending on what the play was and how it was called or how we want to block it. You know, usually, you know, free controls who they block and why they block and when they block. So all the detailed things that we do as far as blocking with the wide receivers are all based on our quarterback and how nasty he wants them to be, how wide he wants them to bleed, who he wants them to block, whether he wants to Zen motion them down, zip motion them down, zip them across, zip them across. You know, it's a bunch of different things and a bunch of different plays. So, you know, all these guys, they really get very detailed in everything they have to do as far as what play was called, who called it, whether it was a hurry-up play, what the situation was. You know, there's a bunch of different things that's involved with that, Anthony, that I have to probably sit down with you in a film room and get that study done.
Well, and one of the things that he's talking about just hypothetically here is that players can, on occasion, tip what might be coming. If you're not careful there, if you're not paying attention to detail, you might tip that this is not a pass play if you're a wide receiver, just generally speaking, not saying that this has actually happened. So you have to be careful about those kind of details.
Yeah, you got to be. And a lot of times, you know, we don't care if they tip. You know, sometimes it depends on what the play is. You know, yesterday we had a particular play where Maurice Stovall came in and sealed the edge off for us, and, you know, we didn't care if they knew we were going
to
run it.
He actually, just to pick up on your point, he actually stopped and was standing there for at least a second or so before the snap happened, so you knew he was blocked.
We wanted to get him there to seal the edge so we can get Blunt to the corner and really deal with that safety Blunt style. And that was, I think that was the play particularly. He jumped over a guy and leaped and ran it for about 50 yards. So some of those times, you know, it like I said, it all depends on what situation the game is and what's going on.
Love all of this. And, again, we got time for just a few more moments here and a few more phone calls. Again, 990-4620 if you're in Hillsboro. If you're in Pinellas, 461-4620 and toll-free 1-800-596-BUCKS. Real quick on the injury front, we didn't cover this before we got to the phone calls. I know you announced earlier today at your news conference that Regis Benn, unfortunately, is going to have to go on injured reserve with an injured knee ligament. And also I know that Ernest Graham suffered a blow to the neck yesterday, and you described that as week to week. Just elaborate on those situations real quick.
Well, Regis will miss the rest of this season, and he'll miss, you know, a good portion of the offseason, which is sad for him because how much he can develop and grow still, you know, in the offseason with his quarterback. But we'll get him back next year, and we look forward to that. You know, Ernest, you know, suffered a blow to the head or a blow to his neck area that really got him sore. So he's a week-to-week guy, and we don't know where he's going to be exactly, but he'll be week-to-week, and he potentially could play for us again this season.
All right, again, a couple more phone calls. Mike is in Tampa with Raheem Morris, the head coach. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Coach Morris. TJ, Happy New Year, and happy holidays to you guys.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Pretty good. It's funny because you don't get to watch the pregame shows on the network, Coach. And yesterday, Jimmy Johnson gave a speech or a commentary more or less about how wah, wah, wah. He said teams crying about injuries and coaches shouldn't cry about injuries. And then our team exemplifies the fact that the next man. In your press conference yesterday, after losing two more key players, you know, we just next man up, next man up. If that doesn't exemplify Coach of the Year, I don't know what does. And this is the first time going into a draft where I totally trust what you guys pick and don't even want to second guess because you're doing so well. And my question is, you keep saying you have a relationship with Mike Williams. I'm curious what that is.
All right.
Which Mike Williams are we talking about? The Mike Williams on my team or the Mike Williams on Seattle?
I don't know. I don't know which one he meant, but you did make mention of earlier today that Mike Williams on the Seahawks, you go back with him because he was a local product.
Yeah.
And at that time, Monty Kiffin was the D coordinator. Lane Kiffin was recruiting him. Pete Carroll was even recruiting him to come out to USC. He went to USC, and I know you were around at that time while all of that was going on.
You know, during that whole process of his recruitment, you know, USC was flying here, coming to see him, and they brought all the interest to him, so he went to watch some high school games. I'm always a big go around and watch high school games. I was able to watch him. I was able to see him play. I was able to see those guys come recruit him and talk about him, Lane Kiffin and Monty Kiffin and all those guys knowing everything about him. So, you know, once he went to the pros, once he went to the college, he kind of followed him a little bit, and he was able to, you know, keep in contact with him because of the relationship between Kiffs and Pete Carroll and all those things. And then also, you know, once he came out, you know, he was a part of that process of the evaluation and going through that whole deal. And he spent that year here. I believe he got suspended and ended up spending a year here in Tampa and training and working out. He also came to our facilities and worked out with us in an attempt to make a comeback and do some other things there that same year. So I knew him for a while, and it's kind of been like one of those things that I'm happy to see what he's doing for himself right now and happy to see him bounce back and get into the league and be productive.
Just real quick on that point, he was out of the NFL for 2 years, basically given up on, overweight, and he has done an amazing job himself, but with their training staff and their nutrition staff, to basically lose about 40 pounds and get him into playing shape for this season, and has had kind of a rebirth in Seattle, the Mike Williams of the Seahawks we're talking about.
I'm proud of him, man. I mean, he can't say enough about comeback stories in the league and second chances, and he's certainly taking the most advantage of his.
Don in Tampa. We go quickly to him here on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Hey, Don.
Even though it didn't score, how does the mentality of an 80-yard run back help your team and destroy the mentality of the other team?
You know, anytime you're able to put points on the board, you know, it's a factor. You know, him running the ball down there, Don, and really affecting the game and changing field position in order for us to set us up for 3 points to make it a 7-3 game is certainly pushing a different mindset, touches a different mentality as an offense, you know. And as a defense, you want to go out there and get the ball back as fast as you can in order to put the ball back into Five's hand. And speaking of defense, my presence just been graced with Rondé Barber, and I just felt like I just got covered on that call right there. He's been phenomenal.
2-0 has come into the room because he's doing Buccaneers Total Access with Dave Moore after we're done here tonight. So you felt like, you know, little Tampa 2 there, little press coverage, you know, from Rondé just coming in the room.
I don't know if you can call him Tampa 2 no more, man. He's out there playing bump man coverage. He's playing 88. He's singled up on the island. He's the go-to corner right now with a key being out. He does it all. Just ask him.
Yeah, and you get to hear a lot more from him in just a little bit. All right, let's do this. Thanks for all the phone calls. We will pause. We're going to come back and talk playoff scenarios. We're going to talk about playing the Saints. The Saints are obviously in action tonight. Humongous game in the NFC South Division and in the playoff picture coming up tonight. We got plenty of time to discuss it with the coach. That's straight ahead here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Morris Show on your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE and US 1035. Once again, Buccaneers head coach Raheem Morris and your host TJ Reeves.
Remaining few moments here on this Monday night. We will talk Saints specifically in just a moment. We're going to talk playoff scenarios in just a second. A couple more accolades. First time in the history of the NFL, as far as the records go back, which is 1970 at the merger, but I don't think anybody's found one prior to 1970, that a team has started 10 rookies at one point or another in a season and gone on to have a winning season. You have guaranteed that to be the case with a ninth win yesterday, so congrats on that. And with the players that played in the game yesterday, 25 players have played for you this year out of the 2010 draft class and free agent acquisitions. That's amazing what you guys have been able to do with a lot of youth. Remarkable.
I didn't know all that stuff, but you know, the thing about it is it's a credit to, you know, your coaching staff, you know, obviously for getting those guys ready, and also your veteran leadership, the guys that have been able to stick around throughout the season. You know, Rondé Barber, which you guys will talk to here soon, and what we do on offense, you know, I guess you got to put Free into that leadership type of role, and also Donald Penn. You know, those guys have been playing for a while and been consistent and been rock for us and been holding this thing together, you know, while we catch guys up and catch guys up fast. So it's always fun. It's always an amazing stat, you know, but we got to go to the 10th win.
All right, let's talk about playoff scenarios. Here's the simplest way to explain it. The first thing is the Buccaneers need help in a couple of areas. One big help would be tonight if Atlanta knocks off New Orleans, because that sets up some things for this coming weekend. The second thing is that in addition to a victory, you're going to need a loss from either Green Bay or the New York Giants. As we've already talked about in this show earlier tonight, those games, the Giants game in Washington and the Green Bay game hosting Chicago, aren't going to be played until after we're done at the Superdome. So there is no scoreboard watching in the playoff scenarios, but that's the simplest way to explain it. A loss tonight really sets into motion a wild scene at the Superdome, because that's a must-win for both teams now at that point.
You know, that's nice for you guys to talk about. Mm-hmm. You know, the way I look at it is just, you know, win your game and let it play itself out. And that's our job. You know, I'm just going to do my job and worry about the rest of that stuff later. You know, it is what it is. You do what you can do, and that's what we can do, is go out and win.
Well, let's get into tonight, because it's not only for entertainment purposes for you guys, but it's for educational purposes. You're going to be very interested, as is most of the NFC playoff picture, in this Falcons-Saints game. So tell me about that tonight.
I got problems cheering for either one of them. But,
right.
I understand, the situation, and we'll let those guys go out there and play, Here we go, babe.
Yeah, and it's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out. And of course, obviously, now the Saints realize they got to come back and play a 1 o'clock game later in the week.
What if they tie?
Well, that's another interesting part of this, because if they tie, Atlanta still clinches the division, and that actually helps us in the same way that a loss helps us. So there you go on that one. If it does end up as an overtime tie tonight, Atlanta would win the division. And the Saints would still need to win on Sunday, and you could still knock them out with a victory.
I know it'd be a good game, I'll tell you that much. And I'll be locked in, because I got a chance to evaluate and scout on TV. It's always fun to do that as well.
Actually, I may have misspoken. A tie might actually help them get in the playoffs, but we don't want to think about that part of it. But we'll see.
Go clear that up, will you?
We'll see if we can figure that part out. All right, Saints specifically, get into this a little bit. You saw this team earlier in the year, and here we go again at the Superdome late in the year, just like a year ago.
What can I say about these guys? Drew Brees, Marcus Colson, Reggie Bush, Devery Henderson, the dynamic players. We got a great challenge in front of us that we look forward to playing. These are the type of games you want to play, meaningful games in December. We dream about January and February, not April. So and try to set our dreams in motion. We got to go get a win versus this team, and this is what we got to do.
All right, so let's talk about, part of the mentality of this game. It is obviously going to be a huge matchup. Your team, though, went in, and I know one year to the next it's different, but your team went into that hostile environment. They got up 17-0 with the loud crowd and the whole bit, and your team handled it, responded, came back, got the game tied, eventually won the game in overtime. Is that something you can build off of? Is that something that you talk about this week to your team about keeping composure and what can happen even if you're behind? I mean, how do you deal with that? Because you had success overcoming it last year, Coach.
Nope. That was last year. This year. This is a new team. This team right now is built completely different. This team is built with guys that's against all odds, that's going to go out there and give it their all. And, last year we did what we had to do. We played a great game. We finished it. But, we got to go out there and answer the bell this year with this team and this unit. And right now, it's one of those situations where we were a couple years ago, and let's go play and try to finish this thing out for our guys and for ourselves first, and then let it play out and see what the situation may land.
All right, for the Buccaneer fans that are out there, they're going to be watching tonight, obviously, Saints and Falcons, and then they're going to be watching and listening, obviously, this weekend to that matchup. Say something to the Buck fans here as we go one more time.
I really want to say thank you to the Buck fans, man, for coming out all season. The guys that were able to come, the ladies and the people that were able to come out and support us. It's been an awesome season at home. Look forward to seeing you guys again next year. And hopefully you guys get a chance to watch us a couple more weeks here and really enjoy this January and February and all this other stuff that can possibly come.
The understatement of the night is it will be very interesting tonight and next weekend, to say the least. Coach, congratulations on being in the hunt, in the picture, and the playoffs are on the line. We'll talk to you in the pregame show Sunday from New Orleans.
Thank you, guys. Talk to you soon.
There is head coach Raheem Morris. My thanks, as always, Jerry Petuck, Jeff Ryan, helping things out here tonight. We will do this again next Monday night, right after the matchup with the Saints, which comes your way again at 1 Eastern time, noon, with the pregame on the network. Thanks for being with us. Total Access coming up with Dave Moore and Rondae Barber after we're done. We'll talk to you next Monday night. Good night.
You've been listening to The Raheem Morris Show on 620 WDAE and US 103.5, the home of Buccaneers football.